Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique sur les résultats financiers du troisième trimestre de l'année 2015 de WSP. Welcome to the WSP Third Quarter 2015 conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Isabella Jahi, Vice President, Investor Relations. A vous la parole. Please go ahead, Mr. Jahi.
Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. First, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the call today. We will be discussing our Q3 performance, and we will provide you with an update on our operations and financial results. And then we will follow the session by Q&A. Today with me are Pierre Choiry, our President and CEO, and Alexandre Lheureux, our CFO. Please note that we will be recording the call and it will be available on our website tomorrow. The last point before I turn it over to Pierre, I just want to mention that we may be making some forward-looking statements today and that actual results could be different from those expressed or implied. And we, of course, disclaim any intent to update or revise any of these statements. I would now like to turn the call over to Pierre. Pierre?
Thank you, Isabel, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this conference call. So during the third quarter, we posted good overall results in line with our forecast and expectations since the beginning of the year. Not only did we deliver good EBITDA, but we maintained solid margins in spite of the expected poor market conditions in the oil and gas sector in Canada. Our business strategy, which includes geographical and sector diversification, enabled us to mitigate this expected downturn. And with the exception of the oil and gas sector in Canada, we posted overall solid organic growth both on the net revenues line and on the backlog front. The overall performance in most countries was on target. Globally, we experienced negative organic net revenues of 1.8%, mainly as a result of the downturn I just alluded to earlier. Excluding the drop in this sector, organic growth amounted to 4.9% in line with our 5% objective. Organic growth was strong at 5.1% in the Americas, 4.9% in EMEA, and 10.5% in APAC. Overall organic growth for the 9 months period ending September 26, 2015 is 4.7%. I wish to remind investors that organic growth for this period in 2015 is calculated on the legacy WSP business as Parsons Brinckerhoff revenues are classified as acquisition growth. As of November 1st, 2015, organic growth will be calculated on the combined business. Year-to-date, total growth represented 117.2% and 109.3% for the third quarter of 2015 as compared to the same periods in 2014. By region, Canada posted 13.4% negative organic growth, mainly caused by Western Canada, while Quebec and Ontario posted combined organic growth of 11% on a standalone basis. We generated 14.8% adjusted EBITDA margins before global corporate costs. We anticipate the trend of contraction and lower margins in Canada to continue for the remainder of the year and the first quarter of 2016 as a result of the sustained weakness of the oil and gas sector. The main highlight of the quarter in Canada was the acquisition of MMM, and the addition of this firm should mitigate this negative trend in the longer term. In MMM, we have acquired a very reputable firm, which is recognized for its expertise in transportation, infrastructure and environment, and buildings. Its three main operating segments. MMM is also a leader in public-private partnerships, and more particularly in the delivery of large-scale complex transportation and social infrastructure projects. MMM has industry-leading margins on the back of its technical and operational excellence, its performance management initiatives, and the optimal use of its business information systems. We have started to integrate our operations and have realigned our organizational structure in Canada to reflect our market leadership in our operating segments across the country and drive the best practices of both organizations. This transaction enables us to balance our Canadian activities with a stronger presence in Ontario, which should compensate the Western on the back of sustained infrastructure programs planned over the next years. On a combined pro forma basis, including all Canadian acquisitions to date in 2015, Ontario will now represent 36% of our Canadian workforce, while Western Canada will decrease to 32%. The infrastructure and building sectors will represent 41% and 21% of net revenues respectively, while environment will represent 16%. Last, the industrial energy sector, which includes oil and gas and geomatics, will represent 22% of Canadian net revenues, meaning that the oil and gas and geomatics combined should represent no more than 10% of Canadian net revenues. The environment sector is growing in Canada with the acquisition of Levelton, which was completed at the beginning of the quarter, thus growing our environmental team to a critical size of more than 1,000 employees. I once again would like to welcome all colleagues from MMM and Levelton to the WSP family. Moving to the Americas, the U.S. market conditions were stable and we posted good 5.1% organic growth and an adjusted EBITDA margin before global corporate cost of 17.6%. This good performance was helped by some project contingency releases and is supported by solid economic conditions and builds on the strength of our buildings and infrastructure sectors. The environment and power businesses also contributed to this excellent quarter. We also secured a number of major contracts in the U.S. during the third quarter, reflected in the 13.4% organic growth of our backlog in the U.S. from the beginning of the year. In EMEA, we posted 4.9% organic growth and 12% adjusted EBITDA margins before global corporate costs. We continue to see positive momentum in most of the regions, including major opportunities in the UK and Swedish markets for the remainder of 2015. Sweden, one of our largest countries in this region, posted good 10.6% organic growth, while the Middle East was lower than year-to-date at 9.2%. During the quarter, we acquired Faveo, a leading project management firm based in Norway and Sweden, thus adding a strong entry point into the Norwegian market while positioning our firm as a project management leader in Sweden. The integration of Faveo is proceeding well, and the results of the first quarter with us were above expectations. Going forward, we anticipate a noticeable slowdown in the Gulf region, given the reduction in anticipated public sector work as a result of oil and gas revenue and the softening of private investments in the building sector. Africa continued to perform well with 7.9% organic growth, and the results were our plan. In Asia Pacific, organic growth amounted to 10.5%, while adjusted EBITDA margins before global corporate costs were at 10.9%. In Asia, we posted 4.9% organic growth and secured a major project win for the Singapore Changi Airport expansion, representing approximately $60 million in fees for our infrastructure unit. We have a cautious view on this region given the slowdown in the Chinese real estate market. However, for the time being, we still expect growth to continue, but at a much slower pace. Lastly, in Australia, utilization rates increased and local corporate costs were reduced and anticipated cost synergies stemming from the integration of WSP and Parsons Brinckerhoff materialized. We posted 15.2% organic growth on the legacy WSP business and are seeing a brighter outlook in the infrastructure and building sectors, while resource-related work is still soft and very challenging, particularly in light of the near completion of our successful delivery of the Roy Hill Iron Ore mega project, for which we are acting as a project manager. Growth will be challenging in this country in 2016, given the softness of the resource sector. I would now like to give you a brief update on the integration of Parsons Brinckerhoff. It has already been a year since we became one firm, and as seen in our performance, this quarter continued on the strong momentum created by the transaction. Integration of support functions continued during the quarter, and we are pleased to report that anticipated cost synergies will be ahead of the $25 million U.S. initially planned. Alex will provide more detail in a few minutes. On the revenue side, revenue synergies generated by the collaboration of our combined workforce are growing and are reflected by the growth of our backlog, which now stands at $4.9 billion, an increase of 24.3% versus the end of Q4 2014, and 7.2% versus the end of Q2 2015. It represents close to 10 months of revenues. As compared to Q4 2014, backlog growth included a 12.3% organic growth and a 9.1% foreign currency impact, with the remaining 2.9% being a result of acquisitions, with the exception of MMM, which was closed only in Q4 of this year. This positive organic variation in backlog is indicative of the growth of our underlying business and of activity levels experienced by operations in various parts of the world, including contribution of revenue synergies. We are very pleased with the acquisition of Parsons Brinckerhoff, and we are confident that this combination will continue to create opportunities for our people and clients in the following years, as bringing together the best of both companies will help us create a company in the future. I will now ask Alex to provide some comments on our financial results.
Thank you, Pierre, and good afternoon. Revenues and net revenues were approximately $1,503 million and $1,124.9 million, up 138.3% and 109.3% respectively, mainly as a result of business acquisitions. Adjusted EBITDA was $126.2 million, up $59.8 million, or 90.1%, while our adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 11.2% of net revenues. We posted higher adjusted EBITDA margins before global corporate costs versus last year in most regions, mainly as a result of continued positive momentum in business conditions. The increase in global corporate costs in Q3 2015 versus Q3 2014 was mainly due to the acquisition of Parsons Brinckerhoff. Although cost synergies were generated over the course of 2015, the savings were partially mitigated by the unfavorable exchange rate in the USA and UK. In addition, long-term incentive programs were instituted in 2013, and it is only this year that the likelihood of reaching targets were estimated with more certainty and assessments were recorded accordingly. It should also be noted that the increase in stock price had also an unfavorable impact on the increase of the LTIP provision. Furthermore, global costs, a corporate cost in Q3, also included provision for project-related litigations. We estimate our going forward run rate for global corporate costs to range between 17 and 18 million Canadian dollars per quarter at the current exchange rate, and this going into 2016. Our net earnings attributable to shareholders amounted to $50.4 million or 55 cents per share on a diluted basis, up 73.2% and 19.6% respectively, while net earnings attributable to shareholders excluding acquisition and reorganizational costs, net of income taxes, amounted to $62.8 million or 69 cents per share, up 90.3% and 30.2% respectively. The $16.1 million in acquisition and reorganizational costs, which were previously classified as non-underlying items, included $12.9 million related to the ongoing integrations of businesses acquired over the last 12 months, as well as $1.7 million related to the reorganization of existing operations, mainly Western Canadian operations. Now turning to cost synergies related to the Parsons-Brinckerhoff transaction. Since the closing of the transaction, we have incurred approximately $24 million in U.S. dollar in integration costs, leading to recurring annual savings that will be above our initial target of $25 million U.S. To date, we estimate that these recurring annual savings should amount to $40 million U.S., of which $30 million U.S. should be realized by the end of 2015. Therefore, the remaining $10 million U.S. in savings should be realized by the end of 2016. Costs to achieve the higher anticipated savings will also be higher than originally announced, but the overall amount to be spent in integration costs should be lower than the anticipated recurring annual savings. Now I'd like to turn to our balance sheet position. Active working capital management in light of business seasonality continues to be our ongoing focus. Day sales outstanding stood at 87 days, which is marginally higher than last quarter, mainly as a result of delays in collection for major projects in the Middle East and Africa. At the end of the quarter, net to adjusted EBITDA ratio was 1.2 times, incorporating full 12 months adjusted EBITDA for all acquisitions, including MMM. Our net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio stands at 1.9 times within our target range. Excluding MMM, which was completed at the end of the quarter, net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio stood at 1.1 times compared to 1.8 times at the end of Q2 2015, mainly as a result of repayment of debt with funds obtained from share issuance. As in the past, we expect the strength of our current capital structure to provide additional flexibility to pursue our acquisition growth strategy. Lastly, the dividend. Given the 52.5% participation in the dividend reinvestment plan, our cash payout ratio on EPS in this quarter, excluding acquisition and reorganization cost, stood at 26%, a major improvement as compared to the 36% that was generated last year. The board has declared a quarterly dividend of 37.5 cents per share payable on or about January 15, 2016 to shareholders on record on December 31st, 2015. Before I turn it over to Pierre, let me conclude by saying that we are already actively working on the year to come. Our 2016 budget is well underway, and it is a good time for us to pause, look back, review what we've done well, what we can do better, and adjust our objectives and propose actions accordingly. Pierre?
Thanks, Alex. So in conclusion, we continue to believe in the strength of our business model based on technical excellence as well as geographical and sector diversification. We're quite confident this will help us sustain growth in spite of volatility in the economy and continued low commodity prices, which are putting pressure on the outlook in some countries. Going forward, we will remain focused on driving global organic growth and improving margins, leveraging our global know-how and winning new work while pursuing our long-term growth ambitions. So I'd like to open it up now, the session for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct a question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star followed by the number one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Mona Nazir from Laurentian Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hello,
good afternoon, Mona.
Hi. So my first question is just in regard to guidance. So you kept your 2015 guidance unchanged. And a few minutes ago in your commentary, you spoke about organic growth contraction overall and how the Canadian market remains challenged, alongside specific commentary on various geographies that is mixed, while there are greater synergies stemming from Parsons. I'm just wondering how the summation of all of these different variables comes together into your consolidated organic growth target of 5%, and also if EBITDA margins here can continue or change depending on the mix.
Okay, so there's a lot of a lot of items in your question. Let's I'll answer the one on organic growth. I think an important factor that I mentioned, Mona, is that the organic growth this year is on the legacy WSP business. I must say we're quite pleased with the organic growth year to date, and obviously the contraction of the oil and gas sector is playing a bigger legacy WSP business than it would play on the total corporation, and I think we'll see that in the next quarter because starting on November 1st, the Parsons Brinckerhoff revenue will be classified as it won't be acquisition growth anymore. So we'll have a new base to start off to talk about organic growth of the combined company. So on the organic growth this year, we're on par with our plan. Obviously. There are some regions, especially the emerging markets, Middle East and Asian markets, which are experiencing some slower growth. We're still seeing some growth, but we had experienced very strong growth. So now we're more the regions are softening, softer growth, but still positive territory. We anticipate in the coming coming quarters, and as Alex said, we're working on the budget right now. We haven't changed our views on organic growth going forward, but I think that it will be interesting to report in the next quarter on organic growth, which will be basically on the combined business and not on only the legacy WSP business. With regards to outlook, I'll let Alex
perhaps
on this.
Perhaps when I can address this. As Pierre just mentioned, this year there's been many moving parts, a lot of moving parts. And when we provided the outlook at the beginning of 2015, we made clear that this was excluding any acquisitions that we would be contemplating in 2015 or executing, basically. Also, we had not foreseen this at the time, but also the disposal of multi-consult would need also to be taken into consideration. And I briefly discussed on the conference call today that our corporate costs have increased for a number of different reasons, but they have increased in 2015. There has been also the FX movement that I suspect some of you will point out. Pierre alluded to the oil and gas sector and the performance of the oil and gas sector for this year. Yes, on the positive side, there has been some cost synergies that were generated throughout the year at an increased rate than what we had anticipated when we provided the outlook. But when you put all that together, we still believe that we will be delivering an outlook that will be within the range that we have provided at the time. And clearly, at this point, I think if you ask me, I believe that will be prolific. But today, I would not be prepared to give you a hard number. All I'm saying is that we are going to be in this range, and probably on the higher end, and certainly than the lower end.
Okay, thank you. And then, secondly, for me is just we're seeing a lot of discussion on the Liberals win, and particularly on the impact for increased infrastructure spend. Just wondering if you had any comment on that and how it relates to you after your purchase of MMM and increased P3.
There's been some there's a strong momentum in Canada right now on infrastructure spend. We had already several provinces that had announced a pretty ambitious infrastructure spending and stimulus programs in both in Quebec and in Ontario. The Liberal platform builds on an increase in infrastructure spending. We saw this week the Alberta government, which is proposing also to increase spending on infrastructure by about 15%. So this is clearly very good news for our business. And clearly with our strong presence right across the country in transportation and social infrastructure. You know, we're clearly a major player in every region in Canada, in all the sectors that will be impacted by increased infrastructure stimulus spending. So, and P3 investment with the MMM. So, we're very pleased that this is taking right now.
Okay, perfect. I'll step back in queue.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Yuri Link from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Just on, back on the organic growth number in Canada, can you just describe exactly where that weakness is? I mean, is it entirely contained to the geomatics business, or have you started to see it spread into some of the other practice areas in Western Canada?
No, I think it's as I said just a bit earlier, it's really oil and gas related. Oil and gas capex spend is down. And this was a part of our business, and that's down. I'd say the rest of the market segments are doing well. We have good growth in the energy space. Energy, when I talk about energy, I talk more about the renewable energies and power sector, so power production and also in transmission and distribution. We've seen growth there. We've had some very solid growth in our environmental sector. Our buildings practice is quite stable on the engineering side. Transportation is doing very well. We've got some growth in transportation, mostly in the province of Quebec and in Ontario. So overall, I'd say if it wasn't for the oil and gas sector, we would be in positive ground in Canada right now.
Okay, and because of some of the M&A, it's tough to see exactly what you did with headcount to respond to oil and gas, but can you kind of describe the measures you're taking and some of the utilization rates of, just qualitatively where you are now and where you hope to be in about 6 months?
Yeah. Well, it's very hard to predict where we'll be in 6 months because we don't know. It's hard to predict the outcome of in the resource sector, but certainly we've right-sized the organization quickly in the first quarters of the year, and now we're adjusting to the markets. Nothing major. I think we have a size now that we're working on regular OPEX projects, and we're maintaining our teams, and we expect, as you remember, the downturn started in the first quarter of last year, at the end of 2014, beginning of 2015. So that's why we continue to see if you remember last year, Q3 2014 was a very strong quarter in Canada, and it was driven a lot by Western Canadian activity. And then we saw a decline from then. So we're going to have a 3-4 quarter decline, and then we're going to start back off a lower base. So that's why I just said that we expect this contraction in Canada to continue until the end of the first quarter. But clearly, with with MMM in the longer term, it's going to correct. But the MMM is going to be classified as acquisition growth for over the next year. So you won't see that have any impact on the organic results in Canada, whereas the results in Canada for the next 4 quarters will be on the legacy WSP business.
Right. And just on organic and switching to Parsons, can you just describe how the organic growth at Parsons has been year to date since it's been classified? It's hard for us to track it. So has organic growth been as good as the base business, or?
Listen, the organic growth of the legacy Parsons Brinckerhoff or the standalone Parsons Brinckerhoff business has varied depending on the various geographies and the segments. Clearly, the power sector in the UK has been continued to be soft, but we expect 2016 to see a pickup. I'd say in the UK, the legacy standalone Parsons Brinckerhoff business is positive. In our, I'd say very good year in transportation, but as I mentioned a bit earlier, Yuri, the resource sector is soft, and we're finishing some pretty big projects over there, some very successful projects, but there aren't any big projects in the resource side to fill that up. And in the U.S., I'd say we have, which is mostly transportation based, I'd say it's been a stable business. As you know, the transportation sector in the United States, but hasn't seen any new funding or increase in funding over the last 10 years or so. So it's you can't say it's a growth market, but it's a very solid market. And we have been fortunate this year to win some very good projects. So I'd say the business overall is stable in the U.S.
Okay, that's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jacob Booth from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Jacob.
You talked a bit about cost synergies of Parsons. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the revenue synergies and if it's possible to quantify that, and maybe talk a little bit about the success that you've seen to date on cross-selling.
Well, listen, this transaction, we talk about cost synergies, and as you saw, you know, we had given some outlook, but we worked hard to do more, and that's always a goal, is to try to be mostly efficient. I'd say most of those cost synergies were related to back office functions and to leases and to driving the business, the best practices of both business. So that's well underway, but the real dynamics of this transaction is a revenue synergy play, and because we have two very complementary businesses, and we're driving quite a bit of nice work together. Today we had a presentations in a board meeting presentations and by different leaders of our business in various parts of the world, and they reported on revenue synergies, and we have a lot of good stories where we're going to clients now, where we had the building side and now we're developing with the clients, with these same clients, some services in transportation, and we've won some nice work everywhere around the world by driving cross-selling with existing clients and leveraging relationships and expertise. So, we don't have any specific numbers. We have numbers by region that really projects that are we wouldn't have won without together. Give you an idea. We had business reviews in Australia not too long ago, and we're talking about $60-70 million of revenue generated by true revenue synergies. I think we're up to £90 million. In the UK, this is what we're working on. We're putting a lot of effort right now into giving the tool to collaborate and share best practices and knowledge across the various centers of excellence that we have around the world. And so there are a lot of good stories. And what we expected to do after the first year of the transaction, after the first full year of the transaction, is to really come up with a report on this and give you some data on this in the coming weeks, Jacob.
That would be helpful. It may be just my second question. Looking for granularity here on the slowing that you're seeing in China, and maybe you can just talk a little bit about Asia Pacific, and if you look at Singapore, Taiwan, Australia, Hong Kong, how that compares to what you're in China. That would be part A, and then part B would be, just looking at your backlog in particular, you talk about the Singapore airport. I think you said it was $60 million in fees. So should we just? Yeah. I'm assuming all of that is in backlog, and we just back that out to get kind of a year-on-year comp.
In Southeast Asia, we have a very strong business. We have close to 4,000 people, of which about 2,500 are in Hong Kong and mainland China. And we have a strong presence in Singapore, and then we have smaller entities in other countries such as Korea and Taiwan. and Thailand. Listen, right now, I'd say that we look at backlog, and then we look at also our prospects, our funnel of projects, and our proposal activity. And right now, what we're seeing in China is a slowdown in proposal activity. But again, a slowdown in China doesn't mean the same thing as a slowdown elsewhere. In China, it was very, very active, but we are seeing some softness in the market now. Our people are still forecasting continued growth, and the governments over there are still forecasting growth at 7%. But I'd say what the barometer that we have is that we work with a lot on the private sector over there with private developers. And we're seeing a bit of a slowdown in the proposal activity, which leads us to believe that the market is softening a bit. But again, in Hong Kong and in Singapore, there's a lot of public sector investments in infrastructure which are ongoing. So we still have a cautious outlook, but at the same time we still think that. There's growth in our business in that region.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Frederic Bastien from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Based on your comments about organic growth, is it fair to say or assume that the EMEA region and also the Americas are going to drive the bulk of the organic growth in the foreseeable future?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I think we have organic growth targets everywhere. Clearly, the Nordics have been quite surprising this year. We've had good double-digit growth in the Nordics. Is this sustainable on a yearly basis? Going forward for several years, that could be a bit challenging. I mean, that's a big number we had over there this year. In the UK, I think we've had some good growth. We still see some good opportunities in the infrastructure side. But if you look at the building side, our expectations are not to have continued strong growth as we've had this year. But as I said earlier, maybe on the power side. So what's nice about our diversified both end market and geographical model or platform is that we can have regions that did well this year could be a bit slower next year, but then other regions hopefully will pick it up. I'd say the biggest question mark is everything that's related to resources, and luckily we don't have too much exposure to that to those sectors. So mining probably about 5% of our revenue, and now I'd say oil and gas probably a bit lower than 5% with the recent downturn. Our core markets are quite solid in terms of, and we're seeing a lot of governments across the world now, and we just saw the European Union talk about this last week about, maybe again they started talking again about a stimulus program in infrastructure. Overall, you just saw in Canada the recent announcements. We're working on our budgets now, so we'll have a bit more visibility in a few more weeks. But overall, we have organic growth targets for all our regions. But in some regions, you can have organic growth targets for most of your markets. Like I just talked about Australia, I don't think we're going to grow organically in Australia next year overall, just because of the resource sector. But that doesn't mean we can't grow organically in environment and transportation and in building.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question about Australia. I mean, when you said, you're specifically referring to the resources sector when you say you're going to have a hard time growing in?
Well, two things. One is the resource sector that we don't see any signs of a quick pickup. There are no catalysts or drivers right now. And the other thing is that, we also are working on some very large projects, and these large projects, when they come to an end, you need to fill them back in, and sometimes those large projects are not don't materialize in the short term, and so there is some timing effects also, related to particularly in the resource sector, which tend to have more volatility in terms of CapEx spend than infrastructure or buildings.
Okay, I want to turn to the margins. They were quite strong on a regional basis, and were it not for the increased global corporate costs, you would have had an amazing quarter. How, and that's quite encouraging, obviously, as your business matures. Any concerns that your progression towards higher margins may slow down and as a result of the perhaps a slower growth? Or I mean,
I think there's two. You know, margins is first of all, margins, we like to discuss margins on a yearly basis, because they can fluctuate from quarter to quarter and by region. You know, we have good margins overall in this quarter. Third quarter in North America is a very strong quarter. In other parts of the world, it's a softer quarter. In the Nordics, it's not necessarily the best quarter because there's vacation time and during that period. So I'd say right now we're pleased with the progress we're making on margins, but I think we investors shouldn't have a short-term view on margin improvements and also on margin performance. I think it should be looked at on a yearly basis.
I appreciate that, but I mean, obviously there's been some good progressions there, so you're quite encouraged with that?
Listen, it's going in the right direction.
Great, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Tuflom from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, good afternoon. Pierre, yes. The fact that PB is going to start to become included in your organic growth calculation in Q4, and given the comments you made about PB and how that's been performing, would you expect to see overall organic growth move back into positive territory in Q4, or do you think you'll still be in negative territory?
I think it's a bit too early to call on that. I wouldn't want to give any guidance on this at this stage, Michael.
Okay. Just shifting over to the Canadian business.
One thing we know for sure, Michael, is that the Q4 results will reflect, again, a contraction in the oil and gas space.
In a similar fashion.
As the third quarter.
As the third quarter.
So you're not expecting anything.
But the difference will be that the impact will be on a bigger number.
All else being equal.
Than on a smaller number.
That's it.
Right. So you would expect the oil and gas contraction to be similar in magnitude to what you saw in the third quarter, but spread over a bigger number. But as far as that,
that's it.
It's not getting any worse.
No, I think we right now we don't expect more contraction in that sector.
Okay. But you will be layering into your organic growth a business in PB, which you sort of walked through the fact that some places of PB are stable and others are growing, but on the whole, is PB still growing positively?
Well, you'll see. I mean, it's. I don't want to give any information on this right now and
right.
Ahead of time. Let's
get through the quarter.
And
we'll report back.
Okay. Alex, you talked a little bit about the expectation for global corporate costs, 17 to 18 million.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say anything more about the magnitude of the litigation provisions that pushed those up this quarter?
Typically, I'm not providing like the breakdown, Michael, and on the group, the corporate costs. All I want to say is that this is not unusual. Just in Canada alone, we have approximately 20,000 live projects, so we expand that throughout the world. I mean, it's absolutely normal to have commercial dispute or claims or litigation that are ongoing. We're in the process of renegotiating our insurance by renewal policy. And so I'm not necessarily prepared to give like the magnitude of the litigation plane. I've provided like on the whole what I expect as a normalized global corporate cost and a run rate. So I wouldn't be I wouldn't want to get into providing like numbers into what's claimed, what's not. I mean, it's getting into a level of granularity that that's a bit much, I think.
I guess all I'm trying to do is, I think it was Frederick earlier that mentioned, the margins would have been, they were already very good in the quarter, but they would have been even better had the global corporate costs been more around your stated range of 17 to 18. So would you at least suggest, or can you let me know if the litigation provisions in the quarter, I understand they can happen on an ongoing basis, but would they have been a little higher than what you would ordinarily incur in a typical quarter?
Not necessarily. Again, as Pierre mentioned, I mean, going back on the margin profile, I think it's dangerous to either draw some conclusion or trending of one quarter. I think we should look at the year as a whole. We should look at PB. Once we have PB behind us for a year and look back at where we're headed in 16 and look at the margin profile. Clearly, our objective is to increase the margin profile, but I think to just extract what the claim would be or the excess over what a normal number would be and draw some conclusion of what the margin would look like, it's getting to a level of granularity, Michael, that I think I wouldn't do. I wouldn't go there. I think it's too de minimis, frankly, in the bigger scheme of things. So I would stay away from this.
Okay. I will get back in the queue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Your next question comes from the line of Bert Powell from BMO Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, Alex, just staying on the corporate costs, is your expectation that those drop next quarter to $18 million?
Again, I mean, the answer is yes. It's like my normalized run rate at the current exchange rate across our territories, because there's a lot of moving parts. And as I said, there's a lot of moving parts, and I'm trying to provide guidance on the more normalized run rate. And the answer is yes. All else being equal, yes.
Right. So in other words, LTIP and all that, so long as the stock stays stable, all that kind of stuff. That's so really the 18 is
17, 18 is what you should be expecting.
Okay. And then just on the cost synergies. I just want to make sure clear. The 30 million, the cumulative 30 we'll see by year end, or that's kind of the run rate by year end?
This has been like the 40 million over the 2 years will be the annualized run rate. So the 30 million was generated throughout, just to be crystal clear, throughout the year.
Right. Okay. So there's 10 more to come.
You will need over 2 years to look at the 40 million as a whole, and so that will be our run rate on an annualized basis. But the 30 million this year was generated throughout the year.
Throughout the year, right? Right. And so if I add the 10 million to next year, and that's I should have what's the net.
That's it.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
But again, just to be a bit granular on this, the 10 million will be generated throughout the year.
Sure. Yeah. Fair.
For 60.
Yeah. Got that, Alex. Thanks. And then, just in terms of the EBITDA margin targets that you've put out in the past, I think was 11%, and I think 2018, if memory serves, is when you think you get there. But MMMM has higher margins. You've got higher costs. You're taking out costs at a faster rate than initially thought. Does that change the end game for that 11% in your mind today?
Well, at this time, we're going to review. We have a budget and a strategy meeting with our board at the end of this year, and clearly we will be looking at the new profile with the addition of MMM. And our goal is to set the goals that are achievable and to stretch the bar when needed and to adjust them with market conditions. But I think the objective was to improve margins. You know, we said that, you know, in order to create the shareholder value, when we did WSP, the objective was to grow the business organically and improve margins, which we did from 2012 to 2015. And with the pub PB, it's no different. And with any acquisition that we do, it's to try to improve margins and grow organically the business, because that's where you get your best shareholder return. And MMM obviously is a very highly good profitable business, and we're going to try to drive the best practices of MMM in our new structure in Canada and try to improve our margin in Canada, which will have a positive effect on the whole business overall. So, yeah, we will adjust our goals accordingly in due course.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Sarah O'Brien from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
Alex, can you comment a little bit about on the remaining integration costs for Parsons Brinckerhoff? You commented that there would be some increased costs relative to initial plan. Just wondering, what types of costs are you still incurring, and when do we see an elimination so we can kind of see a clear number on EBITDA and EPS?
Thanks, Sarah. That's a good question. Well, first of all, what I said is the integration costs will not exceed the annual cost synergies that will be generated over 2 years. So that's from the get-go. I think that this is bringing a bit of light on where I think we're going to be landing from an integration cost point of view. The second part of your question is, clearly, it's been on a number of different initiatives, from staff redundancies to co-location and a real estate cost, to initiatives that are taking place right now on the IT side to really bring people together, fostering collaboration. So really like to get off one system and bring everybody on the other. I mean, there are some costs associated with that have taken place this year. I wish they happened more rapidly, but I think we're going to need a good 2 years to really complete the full-blown integration and the spend around the integration of the back-office operation. But I'd say that I think it's fair to say that the bulk of those costs have occurred in 15, and the remainder will obviously happen in 16, but for the most part, those costs have already occurred in 15 and will be occurring in the last quarter of this year.
Okay. And then maybe just, again, going back to the EBITDA margin goal of 11% into F18, realizing there's puts and takes there, but I just wondered, based on the comments of, you know, the oil market slump impacting, you know, or commodities in general impacting some parts of your business, would you expect that could impact progress that had previously been expected into F16?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, Sarah. As I said, you know, the our margins are holding on pretty well in those sectors, even if the markets are, the volume is down. So the volumes are down, so that translates to contraction. But we're doing all we can to maintain margins on those sectors. So to answer your question, no, we shouldn't have a material impact on our progress in terms of margins. And as I said a bit earlier, the addition of MMM should help mitigate any further contraction in the oil and gas sector.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Connor Sedgwick from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to ask a question about the Ontario and Quebec regions. There was pretty strong organic growth built from there despite the weakness in the West Coast. So I was just wondering if you could go a bit more granular into where that came from.
Well, listen, as I said a bit earlier, the Western region is still, some sectors are still experiencing organic growth. You know, the major downturn in Canada right now is related to oil and gas in terms of materiality. I'd say that the transportation sector in the province of Quebec is doing very well. Our industrial and energy sectors are doing well. And when I say power, let's say power and and industrial are doing well in Quebec also. Environmental business doing very well in Ontario and in Quebec and the rest of Canada, for that matter, with good organic growth everywhere. we'll be able to give more interesting information in terms of market data in the next few quarters as Canadian. We have reorganized our Canadian operations on a market by market, and this. So in 2016, we'll be able to report by market more in terms of the Canadian operations. But Quebec and Ontario are growing. Are the markets growing by 11%? I don't think so. So I think we've gained a bit of market share in both of those markets right now.
Okay, great. And one more question about the Western Canada. I was wondering if there are any projects in the bidding pipeline that could offset some of the oil and gas downturn.
No, you know, in our business, it's not just one project. I think it's a sector. Right now, we just spoke about a bit earlier about the infrastructure sector, P3 projects that are coming on board in transportation. So major opportunities in Western Canada now. Also some very good opportunities in rail sector and then the GTA. I wouldn't say that there's one or two projects that can offset a downturn of an industry. But clearly, the markets, an increase in infrastructure spend in Canada will be welcome to offset that downturn of the oil and gas industry right now.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. That's it for me.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Neville from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Mark.
I'm just trying to back into some of your numbers here in Canada. Just on your Western Canadian business or your oil and gas and geomatics business, am I correct in sort of thinking roughly the business is down about 50% year over year?
Maybe not that much, but certainly let's say by down by 35 to 40% in terms of volume, yes, and that okay. That equates to what the industry is seeing as a whole in terms of reduced the CapEx spend right now.
Okay. And I think you said earlier there was no major headcount reductions or measures taken since the Q1.
In Q1 we announced that we had let go 500, made 500 right. Redundancies, and we've done some, which we talked about as well.
And Q3 as well. We adjust the workforce to the ongoing work.
Okay. And just on the Parsons, maybe without giving numbers, it does sound like the organic growth of that business, at least year to date, it's been a little less than the legacy operations. Is that correct?
I didn't say that, and I didn't provide any color on that. Depends on the sectors. I did say that the resource sector is, and power sector in the UK is it's been quite challenging, but. Mm-hmm. And the transportation business in the U.S. was stable.
Right.
So but elsewhere, I think we'll have more color on the organic growth of the combined business in the next quarters.
Okay, and just on the working capital, it's been a big investment thus far, and I understand Q4s typically sees a reversal. But should we assume that that'll be a use of cash for the year?
For the year, no. I wouldn't expect a use of cash for the year. If we'll end up in negative territory?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
The expectation is no.
Okay. And
Q4, as you said, is typically a strong quarter for us from a working capital point of view.
And on the cost synergies, the $30 million and the $10 million, the $30 million, you said it earlier, I think the $30 million sounds like a run rate, so I guess we do see more than the 10 pick up next year, correct?
It's not a run rate. It's a 30 million is, what the 2 years combined together on an annualized basis will be generating 40 million. So
right.
That 30 million was generated throughout the year. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. No, that answers. Yeah, sure. And maybe just a final question on the backlog. The major projects in the U.S., the high-speed rail and the LaGuardia, are they in backlog now?
parts of them. What we do is normally when if we have a purchase order to start to work, we put them in. But I'd say that there's not much of these two projects right now that are in the backlog.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Mona Nazir with Laurentian Bank. Your line is open.
Hi, I just had another question. So in relation to your Western Canadian operations, specifically oil and gas or energy work, when you first purchased Focus, you had done some, I think, exploration type work, which is geomatics, and then you did engineering services, which was midstream and upstream. Given there was some right-sizing of the workforce there, how would you describe the mix of operations today? Is there still a heavier weighting towards a particular area?
Yes, we continue to do the same type of work we did. It's just the volume of work is reduced, Mona. You know, if you look at the wells and the drilling right now, there's a lot less rigs than there were a year ago, I can tell you. And so we have the full capabilities of work that we did a year ago, and we still continue to do that similar type work, but it's just that the volumes are down.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Maxim Suchev with Dundee Capital Bank. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Without sort of beating the dead horse in relation to organic growth, looking at backlog, I mean, obviously you have plus 7 Q&Q organic growth there. I mean, and some of that is going to be M&A driven, but should we be thinking that somehow the organic growth in backlog is going to be decoupling from the organic growth for on the revenue line, or should it all sort of trend roughly in a similar direction? I mean, I understand that there could be volatility around sort of every quarter. So is that relationship still, I guess, stands? Is that the question?
Well, if you assume that we're not growing in the oil and gas sector, Max, I think what you've seen in the revenue and an organic growth point of view in Q3, excluding the oil and gas sector, is strongly correlated to what you see in the backlog. So in other words, if you exclude oil and gas, which is not growing in the backlog, clearly, you see that the organic growth in the backlog is growing at a similar pace to what you've seen in the top line. So I'm not suggesting it's a perfect correlation. I wouldn't want you to leave this phone call thinking it's perfectly correlated. All I'm saying is we have seen a growth in the backlog in sector that are growing. And on the top line, everywhere it's been growing, or at least globally speaking, it's been growing everywhere except in the oil and gas sector. So I'd say that that's where the correlation is.
Right. And actually, can you disclose what was the organic growth in backlog Q&Q in Q3?
It's three. If you can wait for... So the organic growth in the backlog quarter over quarter has been 3.1%.
3.1. Okay, excellent. And then last question. I mean, obviously, you know, lots of moving parts right now from the macro perspective. What is your thought process in relation to the M&A environment? I mean, has anything changed there, expectations, multiples? I mean, any update on that front, please?
M&A activity, we believe there's still a very strong, a lot of opportunities. When we believe that the M&A activity is going to be, should be good in 2016. There are a lot of opportunities, and we expect continued consolidation in our industry, Max, in the next year.
Okay, and sorry, Pierre, is that was a reference not just to the industry, but you're speaking about yourself as well, obviously.
We have always had an active pipeline of targets in various regions around the world, and I think investors can expect, you know, our growth strategy is quite clear. We want to grow organically. That's our first objective, but we also have a plan to continue with strategic acquisitions that will enhance our expertise and our geographic position in various countries. So Yeah, I think the investors can expect that we continue and to execute on our strategy.
Right. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Your next question comes from the line of Yuri Lynk with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just a quick follow-up on the Americas headcount. It looks like net 400-person reduction. Can you just explain what was that just some seasonality or adjusting for projects, or what was it?
Where are you referring to on this?
You went from 7,700 people at the end of the second quarter to 73 in the Americas.
On the Americas, I'd say most of that would be related to the operations in Colombia.
Okay.
Where in Colombia we had a major project that was completed,
and the demobilization
of that project, and also some clearly the oil and gas. Impacted the downturn is impacting, and the mining downturn is impacting that country. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Ceci conclut la conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez décrocher.
Goodbye.